on yet. Good morning. It's good to be here this Sabbath morning. You're pointing. Okay, there we are, a little better. Yeah. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's a beautiful Sabbath morning. It's supposed to get rain today, but it hasn't come yet. And we sure need the rain, but we also enjoy the warm sunshine that we've been having the last few days. There's a number of announcements in the bulletin. I encourage you to look through your bulletin and read that so that you know of the things that are happening during the week, things you may want to take part of. We've been having a lot of fun on Wednesday evening. We have anywhere from 4 to 12 come out for prayer meeting, and I put prayer in quotes because we spend time praying. But we don't just pray for the whole hour. We talk a little bit, we share, we get better acquainted, we sing some songs, and we do spend a significant amount of time praying for the needs of our church, for our families in the church, for our country, and for our nation. I would encourage you to consider coming out sometime and just coming in and enjoy an hour with us on Wednesday evening from 7 to 8. We meet back in the little room. It's kind of a classroom expansion into the mother's room. It's a nice, cozy area. And then during the cold weather, it heats up real fast. During the hot weather, it cools down real fast. We don't have to heat the large room. And so just encourage some of you to come out on a Wednesday evening and enjoy a time of fellowship and praying and singing and sharing together. Let's just take a moment to look around and shake hands with people and get acquainted with somebody you don't know or haven't seen for a while. I'm looking for somebody that I haven't seen for a while. This morning for a scripture reading, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, John 12, verses 27 to 32. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I come this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of the world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This is an opportunity this Sabbath as we draw close to God and worship together. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, we just thank you for another Sabbath day, and we especially thank you for the program that you started years ago of having communion service, and we pray that it'll be a special blessing as we rededicate our lives to you and in our ministry to you, Lord. So be with us this day as we worship and fellowship together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. What a blessed day it is today. I woke up, it was 42 degrees outside, nice and warm. But we come in this week, this Sabbath, and this is known as the Passion Week, the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And what a blessing to be here to worship him and to celebrate that week and what he did for us on the cross. So if you could, please join us in singing hymn number 335, What a Wonderful Savior. In chapter 12 of John, verse 1, it says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now this he said, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus.
Amen. Our offering this morning is for Monterey Bay Academy. On the fifth Sabbath of a month, there are special projects either from the North American Division General Conference or our local conference. This Sabbath, it is for our local conference boarding academy. For those of you who are not aware of Monterey Bay Academy, it's located on the Monterey Bay. It's about halfway between Santa Cruz and Monterey. It's a school that my wife and I went together there. That's where we met. Probably would never have met if we hadn't gone to this boarding school. It's a soft spot in our heart. Both my brothers graduated from Monterey Bay Academy, and so did a cousin of mine and a nephew. So we've had some family history there from the very, very beginning. My older brother was there the first year it opened up in 1949. But since it is a boarding school, it is under the responsibility of the local conference. And so once in a while, we have the privilege of supporting with our offering this institution of higher learning that's very important to so many of us. I know there's, I can see a few here in the audience I know have gone to Monterey Bay Academy, and so it's been a good place, and we need to continue to support these type of institutions because so many of our boarding academies have closed down because of enrollment. But fortunately, Monterey Bay Academy is still hanging in there and healthy and doing a wonderful job. I'd like to read before we take the offering from Mark 12, verses 41 and 40 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were very rich put in much. Then one poor woman came and threw in two mites, which is one quadrans. I looked that up in a Bible dictionary, and I couldn't find it, so I didn't get it. But anyway, it's less than a penny or two. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor woman, this poor widow, has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." How often do we put in our whole livelihood into God's treasury? God's not asking us to do that, but he is asking us to be faithful in our tithes and offerings. Will the deacons please stand? Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've poured out upon each of us. Some of us have received larger blessings than others, but we've all been blessed by you, Lord. And now as we return to you a portion of that blessing to support Monterey Bay Academy, I pray that we can be generous, and we pray that you'll continue to bless our schools around the world as they teach our young people to not only be good servants for you, but be good servants to their communities. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, it's time for the children's story. Professor Sonia has our story this morning.
And I shall be addressed as such. You guys can sit here. It's a little bit easier. Irv won't mind. Yes, good, you are here, JJ. And Evie. Scoot in. There's plenty of room for everybody. Make a new friend. Lots of room. Happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've seen all of you. Some of you forever. Glad you're here. Today, we are going to be hearing a story that you're going to help me tell. I know specifically that JJ and Evie can help me tell this story, which is why I'm really glad you're here. So, do you guys know what holiday it is coming up? Easter. What's an even older holiday name than that one? Passover. I'm glad you're on the front row paying attention. Thank you. Passover, right? Now, who knows what Passover came from? Yes. Right, because it was what we call that, the ten plagues, right. Because what happened? Moses went to Pharaoh and he was like, hey Pharaoh, we'd like to stay here in Egypt a little bit longer. Is that okay with you? Is that what he said? No. What did he say? Let my people go. And 10 times he asked, and 10 different things happened. Now, really quick, let's review. Evie and JJ, can you help me review the 10 plagues? Okay, come here. Come stand right here. Okay, so there was 10 plagues, and if you know them, you can say them along with us, okay? So,
first plague, water to blood.
Water to blood. The second plague? Frogs. Third plague?
Gnats.
Gnats. Fourth plague? Fifth plague? Dead animals, diseases. Sixth plague? Sores on the arms. The seventh plague? Yeah, hail. Mm-hmm. And then the eighth one. Mm-hmm. Ninth? And ten? Death of the firstborn. Thank you. So the death of the firstborn is the Passover one. Now, that was this big deal where they had to obey these rules that Moses gave them. And because they obeyed, when the angel passed over them, they were able to survive. The firstborn boy, or the oldest boy, was the one who was saved because the angel passed over. Now, this is a completely related question, but it might not seem so. What happens every year that you get to have a party? Every year, and you get put more candles every year. What is it? Your birthday, right? Now, your birthday, why do we have that? Does it remind you that you're getting older? Which is their favorite thing. They love to be reminded that they're getting older. Your mom does too? Yeah. It's okay. It happens where you hit a phase and it's not as exciting anymore, or you just don't want to know how many candles there are anymore. But the point is, every year we have it, because we're reminded that we were born, that our parents had us, and they love us. So the same thing. After the Israelites left Egypt, they had this thing every year. It's kind of like a party, where it was called Passover. So that's one of the reasons we have Passover, because it's to remind us that Moses said to Pharaoh, what did he say? Let my people go. That's right. So, yeah, Moses is a good guy. We'd like to pretend to be him. So today, and it's really complicated, that to make it simple, to let you know, we're going to be celebrating Passover, very similar to the way the Israelites celebrated it, except for they had different things that represented different things. You know, like the letter A represents the sound ah. It's okay if you don't get it. I was trying to figure out how to explain it, and it's just complicated. But basically, everybody celebrates Passover. King David celebrated Passover, Solomon celebrated Passover, and Jesus celebrated Passover. But when Jesus celebrated Passover the very last time, he answered a bunch of questions for people in ways that we're still understanding. So, as you get older, just remember, Passover is important, and the angel passed over. And you were all already watching him, so I hope you guys are listening. So, Passover, just remember, that's why we celebrate it every year, because God passed over and protected his people. That makes sense? Eye contact, good. Okay, you can join him and get a basket and pick up money. Remember, eye contact. And go down the middle aisles, eye contact.
I think I'll stand over here today. Right before offering, I passed two pennies back to Sydney, and when Irv was reading that scripture, and when you think about that, if that was all that woman had, that would have been not very much. And she gave everything she had. I don't know if you've ever opened your wallet up. One time I did this. Well, I'll tell you one time I did it on purpose, one time I did it because I didn't know it. So one time I was in church, and I wanted to give an offering. And I opened my wallet, and all I had was a $100 bill. So I gave it. But one time I gave away a $100 bill, and I wasn't planning on giving it away. I was in Boston Airport last summer, and I had a $10 bill and I had a $100 bill. And I wanted to make sure, we were running to the airport coming home from our son Tim's house, and I wanted to make sure that I gave the person that helped us check in our luggage, the person that sits up front, the sky cap, they call him. They still call them sky caps? Anyway, they're not there. They are if you have a $100 bill, I can tell you that. So anyway, we're getting out, and I don't think I've even told you this before. I've told a few people, and they got a good laugh out of it. So I ripped that bill out, and I knew it was the 10. I gave it to him. We run on the airport, and then I went in to buy a little something to have on the plane. And I looked at my wallet, and I went, darn it, the $10 bill's still in my wallet. And I thought, oh. And that guy, I thought, should I go back out there and ask that guy for my 100 back? And I thought, he's probably not even there. He took the rest of the day off. I don't know. But he had a good day, and I just praise God that he gives each one of us good days. You know, this week has been an interesting week for me. Had some interesting experiences at work. But this week I've been reading all of the scriptures that happened the last week of Jesus' life. And all of the scriptures that we read today in our church service will be taken from the time of the triumphal entry till Jesus dies and is raised from the dead. So as you listen to these verses that are read today, just remember that every one of them is taken from that last week of Jesus' life. And it's pretty interesting. The last week of Jesus' life began when he came in and he rode the colt, the donkey, into Jerusalem. But the event that happened right before that was the raising of Lazarus. And it was really a very defining moment in Jesus' ministry, because Jesus demonstrated that he had power over death, which was a really big deal. I mean, that's the ultimate enemy, isn't it? Death is the ultimate enemy. If you've ever lost a loved one, and everybody in this room has, I'm sure, that is the enemy that none of us can escape. It has 100%. Every one of us. So Jesus proved that that could be broken. And you know, the passage that was read about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. Can you imagine that the Pharisees were so mad at Jesus that they were even plotting to put Lazarus to death again? I mean, can you imagine that? Do you think Lazarus was afraid? I don't think so. I think Lazarus had bigger things to talk about than that. But it was a busy week, and it was intense, and everybody wanted to see Jesus. You know, I don't even know if Jesus got any sleep that week. I have no idea. Doesn't look like it when you read the scripture. I don't know if you've ever had something on your mind that's really just kind of taken a hold of you, and every spare moment that you have free, you think about that. I know some people, when they have a boyfriend, that's all they think about. Some guys, when they have a girlfriend, that's all they think about. It's just something that occupies our minds a lot. And I remember when Callie was in Africa for one summer when we were dating. And I didn't see her for 3 months. And we didn't have email back then or texting or anything like that. I actually wrote a letter every day. And I sent it off to her. And so she would get a letter. I wrote a letter to me every day. But it took 2 weeks before we heard the response. And I'll be honest, I can remember what I wrote. But because I had already written 2 more weeks worth of letters. And I remember the day I was going to the airport. And so I had a picture because I wanted to remember what she looked like. If you haven't seen somebody for a long time, it's like, okay, and looking in the crowd. And you know what? When I saw her come through the door, I recognized her because I was really intent. And that's the way Jesus was the last week of his life. He was intent on one thing, and that was to make it to the cross. There was nothing else that was on his mind except to fulfill the prophecy and to be our sacrifice. And so as we celebrate communion, it's really a time of remembering all that Jesus did. Let's think about a few things that he spoke about that last week. It was his last opportunity just to tell his disciples a few more things. Think of some of these parables, the parable of the faithful and unfaithful son, parable of the landowner, and when the slaves treated his servants badly. It was the parable of the marriage feast, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, the parable of the sheep and the goats. All of these Jesus shared with his disciples and those around him. The 8 woes of the Pharisees, telling them to get real and cut people a little bit of slack in life. And you know what? All of us mess up. And today is a perfect time where we can get rid of mess ups because we have a time to be friends with each other. And whether you wash somebody's feet that maybe you have a difference with, or you wash somebody's feet who you are very close to, it's a time where we can lay aside anything that makes us better than one another. It's a time to demonstrate that we really are family community together. And I just want to recommend to you kindness, tolerance, and forgiveness. Let's look at a quick verse for a minute. It's found in Luke chapter 22. We'll read it together. Verses 54 to 62. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, I don't know if you've ever had somebody come and kind of look at you and, you know, just to see if you are really who you... I mean, have you ever seen anybody in the crowd? One of my assistants told me she saw George Lucas in Raley's the other day. Anybody else seen George Lucas wandering around? I hear he has a house up at Bass Lake. He's the guy that wrote the Star Wars trilogy or whatever the thing is. Anyway, so look at this. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "No, I'm not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. I don't know what that look was that Jesus gave Peter, but I'm sure it was not a look of "I hate you," or, but I'm sure it had a look in it that Peter never forgot, because Peter became a changed person, didn't he? You know, Jesus told of his second coming, Matthew chapter 24. He told how to live in a state of awareness. You see, complacency is the Christian's worst enemy, because we think everything's going to be the same as it always has been. But we know that it's really not. But Christians live in awareness all the time. I have a very interesting experience happening to me right now. It's a lady that used to work in the office where, let's see, it's two offices ago now. Her name's Frankie, and her husband worked for a trucking company down in the valley, and he drove and delivered cement, rocks, and all that stuff all the time. So he always had his arm hanging out the window because, you know, he's out driving. And he got a melanoma, and he is he's not going to make it. He has 40 tumors in his brain. And he was in the other day in the office. His daughter's coming to see him at the office. And so they came up to him and they said, "Can you come and just talk to us about God a little bit?" And I thought, oh, I got to go do this. And because, you know, they just give him just weeks to live. And so, you know, if somebody wants to hear about God, just tell them. Don't miss the opportunity. And sometimes, even if they don't ask, don't miss the opportunity. Callie was playing a little CD of Lee Venin when he was here, and he was telling the story about how when he was going to the airport, this friend of his that said, "Well, who are you going to be talking about today?" And he says, "Oh, I'm going to be talking about Jesus." "Oh, that's a good name." And so when he dropped him off at the airport, Lee was in this crowd of people. He says, "Hey, Lee, who are you going to be talking about this weekend?" And Lee was kind of embarrassed. He says, "I'm talking about Jesus." He says, "What'd you say?" And he says, "I'm talking about Jesus." And he goes, "That's a good name." And you know what? It is a good name, and it's worthy of sharing. Some other cool passages. The fig tree that withers. The widow's mite. Cleansing of the temple. That was a pretty interesting event. Found out, actually, Jesus cleansed the temple twice. Once at the beginning of his ministry and once at the end. Mary anointing Jesus. What a beautiful story that is. And Lazarus being raised from the dead. The passage that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The passage that I am the true vine and abiding in Jesus. The foot washing experience. The prayer of unity. The Garden of Gethsemane experience and sweating blood. Peter's denial. All of the disciples deserting Jesus. Jesus' torture, his pain, and the Father turning his face away. And finally, Jesus' death. And also his resurrection, thank God. There's a couple of verses that really strike me right at the end of Jesus' life. One is in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, where it says, I'm looking for a Kleenex, hang on a second here. There it is. In Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And I think that's a good verse for us because it's good for us to just realize that a lot of times when somebody else does something to us, they really don't know what they're doing. And then in Luke 23:42, the thief on the cross says to remember me. And every day, I think we need to ask Jesus, "Lord Jesus, please remember us." And there's a call to all of us. When Jesus rises from the dead and goes back to heaven. And the call is to be faithful. The call is to feed our sheep. And also the call is to go tell the world about him. And each one of us has an opportunity. Each one of us has a different group of people that we interact with. But God definitely calls us, every one of us, to go and share. So as we come together for communion today, it's a time for us to gather around Jesus Christ and to just thank him for what he's done for us, and then also to walk out of here with renewed commitment to serving Jesus Christ as our Savior. So as we take part in communion today, I just want to encourage you to focus in on Jesus and what he's done for you and what he's done for your life and your family and your friends. Because Jesus is everything. There's not much else. Jesus is everything. So Callie's going to come up and have prayer for us, and then we'll break and go to our foot washing. And so first we'll have prayer, and then I'll share with you about foot washing.
First, before we have prayer, I just want to read out of John chapter 17. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed, that his disciples would have that same oneness that he had with the Father. This is 1-3. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Then moving on to verse 13, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, or set them apart, by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What an amazing prayer. Whatever position you're comfortable in assuming, let's pray. Father, we come to you today longing for this oneness with you, longing for this oneness with one another. And Lord, we see so many roadblocks in our own lives and our own behaviors that seem to make this an impossibility sometimes. But yet, Lord, you prayed for that. You prayed for that then, and Lord, you continue to pray for us. Every day, Lord, you intercede for us, and we are so thankful for that. Lord, you want us to put aside those things that separate us. Whether it's our actions, our thoughts, our words, Lord, you know the things that have caused pain between us, things that have caused misunderstanding, things that have driven us apart from one another. And Lord, we want to ask forgiveness that we have done those things, and that, Lord, we also have pulled away when those things happen. Lord, it seems so much when trials or misunderstandings happen, Lord, we tend to pull back instead of push forward and work things out. So, Lord, we just so much need the presence of your Spirit in our midst to bring this unity to us, to soften our hearts, to make us pliable and moldable and willing to say, "I'm sorry." As we wash each other's feet this morning, I pray, Lord, that it won't be just going through motions, but, Lord, that we'll truly stop and think about the Lord of the universe bowing before his disciples' feet and washing the filth of the street from off their feet and wiping them gently with a towel. And that, Lord, we would remember that you were willing to give everything to bring back relationship with us. You were willing to do anything it took so that we could be one with you and that we could be one with each other. So this morning, Lord, as we spend time not only making things right with each other, but accepting again the forgiveness that you offer, I just pray that you'll renew us, Lord, in the love that is in our hearts for you and the love that we have for one another. Lord, revive us and stir us up, Lord, to whatever it is you want us to do, to say, to be, to allow you to be in us and to use us, each one of us in our sphere. Continue to bless, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his time had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that he should betray Jesus. Because Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, and tied it around himself. He poured water into the wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel he had wrapped around himself. Then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand after these things." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus replied, "The one who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not every one of you." For Jesus knew the one who was going to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not every one of you is clean." So when Jesus had washed their feet and put his outer clothing back on, he took his place at the table again and said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and do so correctly, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. You should do just as I have done for you. I tell you the solemn truth. The slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent as a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
So now it's time for us to share together in that special service. And in our church, we have an open service where anybody can participate. You don't have to be a member of our congregation. And so I want to invite you to find someone that you'd like to share with. And as we go kind of that way down the hall, the men will be on the right. And then we turn around the corner in the community services room is for the women, and then if there's couples, it's down in the multipurpose room around the corner. So go, what's that? And families and couples. So let's go ahead and we'll separate, and then we'll come back together. And when we come back together, you see these cute little bows on the aisles. Sit in a row that has a bow, okay? And that way it makes it easier for the deacons to serve us for communion.
I'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 15, starting with verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Foot washing is such a cool ceremony. I remember the first time I was invited to a foot washing ceremony with Tess, actually. And it becomes more meaningful to me every time I do it. I can relate to Peter as I'm kind of a rugged guy and very prideful. And it reminds me that Jesus washes away our pride and opens an opportunity for us to do the same.
Mark chapter 14, verse 22 says, "While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" We're going to kneel together up here at the platform, and Ed and Marlon are going to have a prayer for the wine and for the bread. And if you just bow your heads, and then we'll have communion together.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord, in prayer in this solemn yet joyful occasion. Solemn, Lord, because Christ knew what he was about to spill for us. And yet, joyous because it was necessary for all of us. He knew that as well. And so, Father, as we prepare to partake of the wine, we pray, Lord, that we would remember that Christ spilled more than his blood for us. He gave eternity for us, that we might have eternity. He did it out of love. How conflicted he must have been, knowing the pain and suffering that awaited him, yet also knowing that his people, whom he loved so much, would in turn be with their heavenly Father. So may we be humbled by this tremendous sacrifice and tremendous gift. We pray in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the emblem you've given us of the bread, representing your broken body, your body that was killed and died on our behalf, so that we might have the joys of heaven and the new earth forever. Lord, we can hardly imagine someone doing this. We're so thankful that you did this for your disciples and for your followers all through the ages, and for us in this day. And as we eat these little wafers that are prepared for us, help us to remember of the great gift that all heaven gave to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I among you as one who serves." Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save yourself and us too." But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art on the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
If you can imagine that day, the great darkness that was in the world. And when Jesus died on the cross, there wasn't a lot of hope in the disciples' minds. And it was a very dark day for them. But when Jesus rose from the dead, it was so incredible, they could hardly believe that it had really happened. In fact, Thomas, he wouldn't believe it until he had personally touched Jesus' wounds. And then he did believe. And I'm so thankful that God, through Jesus Christ, prayed for all of us doubters, that he would, that those that would believe without having seen, because if you haven't seen it, it's harder to believe. But with Jesus raising from the dead, if he's worked in your life, you know that it's true. And so I know God has worked in my life, and I know he's done things in my life. There's no way it would have happened unless it was him working. And I'm so thankful that he gave his life for me and for each one of us. And so the deacons are going to come back in, and then we'll partake together. So when Jesus had broken the bread, he said, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you." And then he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." So I invite you to recommit your life to Jesus Christ right now with the bread and with the blood.
Reading from the New King James Version, starting in John chapter 19, verse 16. "Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Amen. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became as dead men. The angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's an amazing trade that we get with Jesus. We get to trade all of our junk for all of his righteousness. And so as you go today, I just want to encourage you to live that life that Jesus has given you. Live, and if you had seen Jesus raised from the dead personally, I know you wouldn't be able to keep your mouth shut. And so if you have Jesus in your life, don't keep your mouth shut. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus. And as you go out today, check out that cool painting out there in the foyer that Milton, one of our church members, painted and brought it to show us today. It's a very interesting painting. It's a lot of expressions on the disciples' faces at the Last Supper. And if you want to stay by for a few minutes and just pray and contemplate, we'll have a quiet time in church. And then we'll have some fellowship together down in Holbrook Hall. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, today I thank you again for your great sacrifice. I thank you for being a personal God for each one of us. Thank you for meeting our needs and taking our sin away from us so that we can live a life that's in harmony with you. Lord, today as we leave this place, we leave our burdens behind and we take your holiness and we want to walk out this door and be lights for you in our community. Help us, Lord, to be those lights, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.